Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 929 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can listen anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen, stream anytime. You can also listen on demand with the Rewind feature. Dennis Fuller's producer of the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company, as he is each and every Monday, is, of course, the head coach and team director of Team Thad of the Nike EYBL circuit. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at Dream Big Herd. Coach Norton Herd IV, good day.
Great day. Great week of sports, man.
We had a lot happen over the weekend, so we will start with the local teams. We'll start Grizzlies, start Tigers, get Coach Hurd's thoughts on what happened at FedEx Forum on Sunday. We'll also get into the final playoff rankings as they are indeed set. Coming up next segment, Jason Munns will join the program. We'll get his thoughts about what happened yesterday to the Tigers and Arkansas State. Also get his thoughts on everything in the Tiger basketball program. We'll get into the list during hour number two. Juan Soto signs the biggest contract in professional sports history. Whoo boy, Herd. Maybe pretty good to be a baseball player. Also, Trilly Donovan with the standard tweet about, I believe it's this AP poll. You can usually predict the winner. I think it's the top 12, maybe, of this AP poll. So we'll talk about whether or not we think that applies. Portal opens up in full force today. Bad news on the injury front, it looks like, for Carson Beck. We'll get into the NFL and more. But it's Overreaction Monday, and so I thought, let's start positive, Herd, before we get into the Tigers. It's Overreaction, so I haven't gone back. I just wanted a straight gut take. I didn't want to go back and look and see whether or not it's true. I just wanted to go, all right, what's my knee-jerk overreaction? My knee-jerk overreaction was from Saturday night when the Grizzlies knocked off the Celtics on the road. I think that's the best regular season win of the Ja Morant era because several factors at play. Number one, Ja, by his own admission, has kind of put the Celtics as the standard. And not only that, they're obviously the defending champion. But more importantly, it's been a team that you've not matched up well with pretty much ever. And I thought the other big thing was the whistle really wasn't going their way. And to the point of which even, you know, Brevin and Pete on the broadcast, they're kind of losing their minds. And you understand, like, that's kind of what happens. You know, hey, man, to beat Boston on the road, you don't really need a bad whistle. But the thing that I found myself impressed with, the guys, was I felt like it would have been really easy to lose their composure. And we've seen them kind of do that at times when they get into a tight game and the whistle's going against them. Lose their composure. It didn't. They stayed aggressive on the defensive end. And then to me, it's the type of win that if you're going to dream big, this is exactly what you needed from the Grizzlies. Ja plays unbelievably. Jaren plays unbelievably. And even though Dez didn't have like an all-time great game, he still hit two really big shots down the stretch, the three and then the reverse layup where he put the English on it. Like, that's the formula. Your three best players all made big-time plays, and it was against a team at full strength with the Celtics, and it's against a team that you've marked as that's the standard, and deservedly so. I don't want to even act like that's an unfair marking. They're the defending champs for a reason. I was trying to think, like, and I know obviously with regular season wins, like, it kind of, you know, they can fluctuate. But just given what we've seen, which is we know this team is very capable of beating the bricks off of bad teams, but how have they stacked up against the good teams? We haven't seen a whole lot of the good teams at full strength. Last week, for three quarters, pretty good at Dallas, but the fourth quarter, they kind of have the meltdown, and it leaves you kind of not knowing how to feel. But when you have what happened Saturday, to me, it almost kind of erases. Like, hey, if I tell you you're going to split with Dallas and Boston on the road in a week, I think everybody signs up for that. And so I just thought, given the context, I know it wasn't a national TV game, and we're still kind of in the middle of football season. It's championship week, so kind of attention's elsewhere. But I just thought, in terms of what it meant for this team moving forward, I just thought that was a massive, massive win.
No, definitely, Jeff. Like you said, if they mark them as the best, that's a good mark.
Yep.
I mean, you're talking about people have been saying for the last 2 years, you know, just to even go to their foundation, when they was able to get Jrue Holiday, it was already a really good team going to the Eastern Conference Championship in the final, even without him. Then you get Jrue Holiday, you get Derrick White.
Yes.
You get guys of this caliber to come with these two superstars. You get Porzingis, which the year before, people was low on him a few years ago, but everybody I talked to the year before with the Wizards, he averaged like 20 points, and people was like, wow, he is offensive talent. He's tall. He's blocking shots,
yeah.
So he's defending more. And you get them all on one team, and people have been saying the last year and a half, this is the best starting five in basketball. Even if people didn't say it was the best 10, they said it was the best starting five in basketball with Jrue, Jason, Jalen, Porzingis,
yep.
And I guess it's Derrick White, the other one.
Derrick White's been the guy that's wound up playing the most.
Most, because he was coming off the bench, too, at one point. So, I say all that to say is...
I mean, they obviously had... Pritchard was in there a decent amount, because Pritchard hit some big shots.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, usually...
Horford started a lot.
Usually the five, it's been when healthy, Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, Derrick White, and then Middleton.
Who?
No, I'm not Middleton. The other Bucks. The guy they trade for Bucks.
Jrue
Holiday, yeah.
Jrue Holiday. Middleton.
Well, Middleton came back on Friday and had him on the mind because I think Middleton made his debut last week. Yes.
So, with that extremely good win, you might have me on this, Jeff. You got me on it because we don't have to pregame no more because we blend off each other.
Absolutely.
Good.
Well, we want to keep it real.
Yeah, we blend off each other. So, well, I actually hadn't thought about regular season significance. So, you kind of got –
And as to far be clear, as like what is the regular season significance? It's like, I don't know. But in terms of just – I think what happened last week in Dallas happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think you needed to have some more proof of concept of like, hey, guys, we are a good team. I don't think you're going to get a better test of are you a good team than going into Boston.
Yeah, we are who we say we
Correct.
Are.
Correct, exactly.
You know, we look ourselves in the mirror. No, and so with that, it was a great subject you brought up. I actually wish I could think of regular season since he's been there. I think we might have beat the Warriors or something.
There's been a couple of Warriors games that were big, but then like I was like, well, is that the play-in win? There have been a couple of like – we had the Dez national TV game against the Nets, but Ja wasn't playing. To me, the key is Ja, Jaren, and Dez on the floor at the same time.
And you said during when Ja is playing
right.
and doing it.
There was a big Nuggets win 1 year at home, but there's something about, man, going on the road, like in terms of statement.
On the road against the defending champs, like you say, after Dez, it looked like they really grew up, and that was a really, really, that was a really big win for them, and like you say, you could have easily lost against that because people was – frustrated after the Dallas loss.
For sure.
You know how fans get anyway, but I heard that a little louder, and I think they was frustrated, like you say, all three of them playing great games. I think they was frustrated the maturity when calls go against. So
Marcus Smart making Bone out of place.
I bet he happy about that win, too.
He was, especially when you consider how – like, that's – I was glad that it being a no-win situation for him and he has a tough night, like, it is – at least you get the win.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't imagine what all he was feeling going back to that.
That was his first time? No, he went last year.
Did he go last?
Don't, because I use it, the way I use the word, a West team got to play East teams twice,
right
at home.
But they did, like, they gave him, maybe he was hurt. Because they did the video tribute. Like, they did all that on Saturday.
Okay.
So I think he might have been hurt for that game.
Makes sense. But no, that was, and another reason it was big, because when we talk about the Warriors and we talk about Denver, we talk about those guys, usually, traditionally, if the schedule lines up the right way, you're going to play the teams in your own conference four times. So
right. You
don't get that minutes. You only get a shot at a team like Boston once a year at home. You get at their home. And so that makes it even more special. So, yeah, it was super big. And so
first win at Boston since 2013.
Well, you hit it on the money. It's super big. That's 11 years, almost 12, I guess, depending on.
Yeah, he was not. So he got hurt in the Lakers game last year, like right before Thanksgiving. And then they went to Boston like a week later, so he wasn't even – he was inactive.
And you know what? I'm actually glad Boston did that Class C and M, is because everybody doing it. But sometimes when you do it like a 3 weeks or 3 months after, to me, I don't feel like you put enough into the video. I think taking a year kind of makes it more prepared and special, in my opinion.
It also – yeah, I'm with you, because it feels – it doesn't feel like thrown together. Also – I think it helps if it's like a year, because the emotions have kind of settled down a little bit. Because, you know, I mean, I on a human level, like I cannot imagine how Marcus Smart feels one way or the other, because it's not just that, it's not as if it, they trade him. That's the reason they win a title, but that is how it played out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they got a lot of pieces too, though.
Right. And other things contributed to that. Number one, getting Porzingis on the cheap.
Yeah.
Like, it was a huge part of this. And honestly, Tatum and Brown playing at the level that they played at.
They found it mature. You knew it was coming.
And then Derek White steps up in that kind of the role that we're talking about. Like, hey, you need someone else that can hit shots and
get lucky with Drew. He gets traded all the way to Boston, get on waivers. But they got money now, because they paid everybody you just said over $100 million.
I think it's the biggest roster in the NBA.
Okay, it was the Warriors for a long time.
Because the Warriors got under the cap, or under the second apron, maybe.
Do you believe Marcus Smart deserves a ring? Are you were you one of those guys? What side of the fence are you on with stuff like that?
So my real answer is I don't care. Mm-hmm. But my second answer is, like, to not like avoid the question. My second answer is nah. You got to be on the team, man. And honestly, I guess the way that I look at it is I wouldn't want it.
Really?
Would you?
Wow.
Like, I get it would kind of be like a nod of, hey, you were part of this foundation. You were really core guy. But it's like, man, I wasn't there when they won it.
I wouldn't want it right now, Jeff, if I'm going to be real with you. Like in 5 years when people can't remember who won it, or when you're talking to your grandkids and walking around with the big ring and you just say, well, you know, I won this championship in 79 or 2025. They're just going to be like, oh, granddad was a champ. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I always worry about the follow-up. How many points do you have? Well, you see.
Well, what's the difference in that and the guys that was on the team who didn't contribute much who still getting a ring too, though?
I do think we hand out too many rings.
Because even two-way get rings and stuff. You know that.
I think if you were on the roster, you were eligible to get a ring.
At any time that year or something, right, too. Because I heard some people who even got cut, like Cousins or somebody got a ring. It was some guy got a ring from a program, and I think he either didn't get there till after the trade, or he got cut early. But I think you're eligible if you're there at some point that year.
Was that when Boogie went to the Nuggets for like a week?
And did they still give him a ring or something?
Because I'm trying to remember. Late stage Cousins was moving around.
Got a couple 10 days or something.
Let's see. Oh, it would have been Milwaukee. Nah, no, because he played on Milwaukee and Denver in 22. So maybe it was with Denver. Because he played in 31 games with Denver. Right? Because Denver's 20. Yeah. So it would have been Denver. He played 31 games for Denver. That would have been who it would have been eligible with.
Okay, that's who. Okay.
I don't know. I guess I'm always the guy that I think I wouldn't want it, man. Like, I've always, this is where I think it gets even worse. Like, how do you feel about the guy that gets hurt right before the playoffs and misses the playoffs?
They've been on the same out yet?
Yeah. Like, I know he's going to get a ring, but that's the one where it's like, I always thought, like, how does Carson Wentz feel when Wentz was the quarterback, he gets hurt, Foles comes in and leads just like one of the hottest runs we've ever seen in the Eagles knockoff. Like, do you feel good about that ring?
Yeah, I think it's different with football and basketball. In basketball, I'm going to say yes because you just play 82 games.
Yeah.
If, you know what I mean? And you're probably a big reason why they either the first, second, third. And football is like
Porzingis is – they're not in the position that they're like, – even though Porzingis missed over probably half the playoffs, they would not have been the number one seed without Porzingis.
No. No, exactly, exactly. So, no, I'm with you. Now, football, it is a little because it's like, okay, you only just play 8-9. But now, if you
and
play,
you're the quarterback, so it's not like if you're basically any other player, there are other ways. Like, only one quarterback plays.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? We have five receivers, and you can play rotate seven.
And they get subs, so they're used to being subs. They don't play defense, right? Like basketball. So, yeah, that's interesting. Man, I get it. You probably won't want it. I mean, markets do, you know, from a human standpoint. You know, as much as you know it's a business, I know they don't feel good, though. You know, because them was like, guys, you grew together, and you were kind of part of that thing. And like you say, I don't think they won because they traded you.
Right. But it's like, it plays out that way. But it's like, okay, yes, I don't think that's the case. Now, I mean, I've always felt like that team was going to be better if they could get real point guard play.
Yep.
Now, what they kind of figured out was it's not necessarily real point guard play. They basically just made Tatum their point guard. But by moving Marcus out, that allows you to
do that.
Correct.
But Jrue Holiday is a really good point guard, too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jrue Holiday, pretty good point guard. He's different, but he's pretty good. Yep. And he's better than Smart, also.
Yeah. Because he's just, like, that's kind of the other thing. And then it's like,
a little smarter player.
How much is, I can never figure out, like, Smart confuses me more than the average player because he makes plays that make me go, that guy has a tremendous feel for the game, but then he will also combat it and you do, like, he will make plays where you're like, have you ever played basketball before? But, like, you know what I mean? Like, I've always struggled with that.
And that's fair because I know where you're coming from because actually, I've been following Marcus Smart since, like, right after high school, Oklahoma State. And he actually is, you know, the first
Chicago?
Thing.
He's a, huh? Is he a Chicago guy?
Because
isn't the story, like, he was at a TA thing? Like, because I know he went to Oklahoma State.
I think he's Texas. He's Texas.
Okay, that sounds more right.
Yeah, he's somewhere, like, outside of Dallas or something like that. He's a Texas guy and went to Oklahoma State. Because I think it was a story.
Flower Mound, you're right.
Yeah, where Texas wanted
Flower Mound, yeah.
Mm-hmm, Texas guy. So, yeah, but really, really good ball player. Really good ball player. Went to Oklahoma State when they went great and really raised the bar there. When you said TA, I think that was more the Oklahoma State thing, like brotherhood, even though they went there at the same time. I think it was more about OK State.
Anything else you want to talk about the Grizzlies before we have to get into the –
Jai playing great ball and
the dunk.
It's funny. Yeah, I was gonna say that's funny, but he did do number. He's trying to do number layups though.
I kind of respect it because he's making layups cool. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing is that if average guy is hitting layups, we're just laughing. But it's like because he's so ridiculously athletic, it makes layups look cool.
From a marketing standpoint, he might sell more shoes there because the more you're relatable to people. Now, some of the stuff he's doing, people think they can do that. They know they have a better chance of trying to do that layup, the little kids or any of us in adult leagues.
Yeah, there's the thought of, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
It's like you can't, but it's part of, I think it's why the previous generation has so much pushback on Steph because I think in their minds, he's just what he would have been in their era, which is a three-point specialist. And it's like they view it as he's got a skill, but it's not like the all-round game, whereas I'm sitting there going like, well, he has ridiculous handles. He's an unbelievable passer. He obviously, like, it's not just he's a great shooter. He might be the greatest shooter we've ever seen. But I do think there's some pushback from, like, the older guard of, he's just like Steve Kerr with taking more shots.
Yeah, and then, like, and the flip that the younger generation thinks, like I was telling you, when LeBron and Steph were made, LeBron certain years more, he's the number one popular player in the world because people felt like they could identify with him. They felt like, 100%. Even though they couldn't, he was only 6'3", kind of slim, shoot three. And LeBron looked like he was good in the machine. Yeah, you would never be him.
Touched by God.
Yeah.
You can't make yourself into LeBron James.
Mm-mm.
Like, LeBron is obviously skilled and talented, and beyond being just a physical freak, he's obviously developed a game that is, at worst, the second best we've ever seen. But it starts with, you can't look like that.
Yeah, yeah. And so, Steph, little kid, he was, you know, late bloomer, you know, went to Davis and went, so people...
Didn't even get offered by his dad's alma mater, Virginia Tech. And it's not like his dad was at Carolina. Zavod Tech, they wouldn't offer him.
Yep. And you know, Coach K didn't want to make the same mistake they tried to get his brother and everything like that. So, yeah, so like I said, with the jot layups, people might think, even though they can't, that they can do things like that. Now, to the older generation, Jeff, I do want to say this. It was never a Steph Curry ever. But when I see James Harden in second and I see stuff like that, I will say this, though. I do think, if they could have took more threes, that a guy like Reggie Miller would be a lot closer to Steph numbers and other guys if they would have and Larry Bird. No, they still threw it into the big man.
Yeah, they
first,
still played inside
it out.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
No, I agree with you.
Guys didn't attempt. You got guys attempting 15 threes a game right now. 10 threes one person. You got teams attempting 40, 50 threes. Like, you know, people didn't attempt number maybe 15 threes as a team at one point. So I do think that when you see how, like, James Harden, is he really the second-best three-point? I don't know.
You're hitting the nail. I don't know what to do with Harden because I can't dismiss his ability to score. In the end, that is the objective of offense.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that I've always struggled with is I do not enjoy watching his style of play.
Oh, you don't like his style.
Like, I don't like the spread it out, like, you know. And I do think, like, you see, I can't remember who made the argument, but he's like, look at everybody that plays with Harden, their numbers go up. And to me, that's a pretty good argument for a point guard. Do you make people better? Mm-hmm. And he's like, they all have their best offensive numbers against him. But there's just something about the consistently just getting to the free throw line that I just don't care for.
Without the antics. Yeah, and then I don't know if he's a point, but like I will give him and Trae Young this. As much as they shoot the ball, they do have an IQ. They be having like 10, 14 assists and stuff like that. Like you say, they find a way and to get assists. But it is two players to piggyback on that. I think as good as Steph is, Ray Allen and Reggie Miller are two guys, and maybe even Bird. If they were able to take that many shots and play in this era, I do think they're some of the best three-point imperial shooters ever, Reggie Miller and Ray Allen. I do, and maybe Bird too or whatever, but for sure, Reggie Miller and Ray Allen.
Do you like the fact that the NBA, it's almost like kind of across the board in all sports, because of analytics, everyone is essentially playing the same style to a certain degree, where everyone's, even the Grizzlies, you know, they're not going to get 40 up every game, but they're clearly trying to get more threes up. Do you like the fact that more than ever, everyone's playing kind of a similar style of basketball?
I'm okay with it. I understand where analytics is going. I don't want that to just be the overall thing, though. I still want people to have a feel for the game and still, because even the way there are people running offense, defense, practice, even drafting players. People have missed on that with just purely analytics. So I'm okay where it's going because I don't want to disrespect people who put a lot of time and effort into something. But I think if you're a true sports guy, you don't want to make it just all about analytics.
Yeah, I'm with you because obviously I'm not dismissive of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of effort that goes into that. I'm with you. I just find it boring when everyone's doing the same. It was the same thing when baseball really went to everyone is throwing as hard as they can and everyone was swinging for home runs. And so it was either strikeouts and home runs. I just didn't find it that interesting. Like, yeah. I want to see I want to see guys on the move. Like, I want to see different styles. All right, this team hits for contact. This team hits for power. Like, how does it work in a 7-game series? I like when different styles makes fights.
Mm-hmm.
But it just feels like now, I mean, like, that's kind of the other thing about the Celtics. You can kind of feel where a Celtics game is going in the second quarter. When they come out and you realize, like, all right, in the first half, they've gotten up 23s and they've hit 10 of them. You know where this is going. Now, if they have, like, a game where they had the Heat last year where they were, like, 2-for-20 to start, you're like, okay, this is a chance to get them. But it's almost like the game is done. Like, I don't enjoy, like, when I'm watching a basketball game and I know, like, that was kind of the frustration for me with the playoffs last year, where what I found exciting about the playoffs was we got to a lot of 7-game series, at least in the West. And when the series started, you really didn't have a great feel. Like, you could have thought, all right, I think Dallas is going to beat the Timberwolves, but we didn't know. And they were an underdog. And you could have felt like with the Timberwolves, like, I think they're going to win, but I don't know. And then we saw upsets happen. But what was frustrating was even in series that were going long, the games themselves, there was like, if you had like a 7-game series, you had like two games that were maybe decided in the final 5 minutes. And so that's kind of where I would get frustrated. It's like, all right, you just felt like you were staying up just to watch like a 20-point game. Whereas even though like the series went seven,
mm-hmm.
the games themselves weren't all that memorable.
Yeah, this is actually how we started the Grizz. This is some good stuff you're saying because I'm definitely looking at it just like that. You don't want analytics. But I'm going to tell you what really probably there's more concerning with me about because I'm a big NBA guy. I'm a big basketball guy. I do love college a lot sometimes more too because the guys, well, before NIL, but still, they're still more hungry to get to a goal sometimes. NBA get crunked sometimes, fourth quarter every game or playoffs. You can tell because you play at 82, everybody.
You know it when you see it. You know when a game's different. Because like I said, it was honestly the same thing. The other reason why I thought Saturday was so big is you could feel watching the game like, oh, everybody's into this. But it was the same thing with the Dallas game last Tuesday. I don't think it was because it was the Cup. Like, I think it was Dallas had their guys, the Grizzlies had their guys, and both teams were like, let's go.
Let's do this.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. The crowd was like lit. It was like you can feel it. Like, you know, like when a game feels like it has deeper significance.
Yeah, only thing I want to add to the game right now, Jeff, is, and I know this sounds a little old school, I want to add a little more toughness and physicality to the game and defense because I'm going to tell you why. When games start being every night, I'm be real, 130, 140, 150, to me, that's crazy. And to me, that's why you got everybody on the team averaging 7 points. That's why everybody getting paid. And they were talking to a guy from the 90s and 2000. He was saying, man, the hard thing about our game, you didn't know if a person was going to average 90 or 120 because we was out here playing ball. And I would like to see sometimes some games that 90 to 99 because every game is – even the teams that get blowed out, the worst teams lead, it's like they're getting blowed out. I look at the scores, 110 to 134, 110 to 1.
Well, like last night, the Wizards, who are god-awful, I think they still got to like 110.
Yeah, it's
and
like.
And that was with Jordan Poole not scoring in the first half.
You know, that used to be the highest team in the NBA if you average 110.
I make the joke, but remember when you would go to the games, and if they cracked 100, you get, like, tacos. It was either Taco Bell or, like, that was the giveaway. 100 points was that. Now it's like teams are hitting that in the third quarter.
Hey, I mean, at halftime, it'd be people that have 70 points, 80 points. I'd be like, and that's like the All-Star game, not to knock it, but just me being real, I love it. But when the score gets to 200 and something, I'm through watching, Jeff, because now you're making a mockery out of me as a true sports fan. No, forget the radio. To me, yeah, now you're becoming like we're watching cartoons. Now, 200 and some.
We can tell when there's effort. I think, though, the problem that I see with quote-unquote defense, it feels like it's so dependent on how the game's officiated.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, we'll never know, but my suspicion was Adam Silver really thought last year at the All-Star game that they were going to play hard. And it was clearly apparent at the, like, 2 seconds in, you're like, this is going to be like all the rest of them. And after that, if you think back post All-Star game, the officials started letting the game get a little bit more physical. And all of a sudden, games were getting more to that target that we're talking about. It's like, I don't care. If you have a great offensive night and you hit half your threes and you get into the 120s, cool. Like, I also acknowledge this isn't just a lack of defense. These guys are incredible shooters.
Mm-hmm.
They are unbelievable. Like, think about it. A bad free throw shooter is like 78%, but that kid in college is probably in the top 25%. So it's like, that's how unbelievable shooters they are. But we started to have more games kind of 110, 105, and I was like, that feels to me kind of like the sweet spot where it doesn't feel like the only way you can get a stop is a missed shot.
Yeah, yeah. And I know defenders in the NBA that have said this, though, because we know the NBA do the best marketing in the world, but they are not, even some of the better defenders, they are not allowing them to play. They call so much now, and then guys don't want to foul out to the point. And to me, they got to let them start back playing. When they had their meetings this summer, they got to let them start playing a little physical. I'm completely not touching, completely not bump. I mean,
yeah, my deal is, like, I'm not saying, like, you bring back hand checking. I kind of think that's cheating, too. But at the same time, it's like, I don't think when you flick somebody, it's a foul every time.
Well, I look at hand checking like this. You know, in the NFL, because you're a big football guy and football period, you can touch the first 5 yards.
Yep.
I feel like maybe you can hand check until they get inside the three-point line, or maybe you can hand check until they get into the ball. Not major hand checking, but if you're the defense, you got to have, you know, everything is against you. The liability, the pace is coming at you, the flow. You know, you're not going to be able to slide better than somebody can dribble. That's just, the numbers are against you. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, this is where it's like, I wish the NBA would focus more on, because this is the other aspect of it. The more rules that you put in, the harder the game becomes to officiate. And I think what drives people the most insane is you can go to a game on a Tuesday night and go to a game on a Thursday night, and if the game is officiated differently, you feel like you watched two different things. I would like to get to a point, and I know there's no perfect solution, but I'd like to see a little bit more consistency in how games are officiated. It's my biggest frustration in college basketball.
I'm going to say this, Jeff, because I was at college watching college games this weekend. I was over at Bartlett High School at the Iverson Classic with some of the top teams and players in the nation. Then I was going to my gym where we had games going on from four-year-olds and up. And I'm a coach. But, man, from peewee to middle school to high school, college, NBA, you know, everybody complaining about the refs. So I don't know if that can be.
I want to be clear. I'm actually taking up for the refs here. I think their job's impossible.
You for sure.
So, but the problem is whenever it happens the most in football, we have, because when somebody takes a big hit and everyone freaks out about concussions and whatnot, we put in a rule that makes it impossible to play defense.
For sure.
Like, it's a full-speed collision sport. Like, the biggest problem football has is I do not believe it was meant to be played by human beings that are this big, this strong, this fast. Like, that's, like, in the end, football is such an insane sport, we wear body armor. Like, we literally are going to war.
Yeah.
To play football. So league responses are always put in a new rule. Well, every time you put in a new rule, you've made it even harder for someone to, in real time, come up with a judgment and make the call. And so that's kind of where it's like, instead of maybe coming up with more avenues to make money, maybe let's, like, simplify the rule book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you got it, like you say, you're making it so hard on defense. To me, outside of quarterback, the hardest position is corner. I don't like how, to me, a receiver can do so much and push out, but you know, they barely call offensive pass. But defense, if you don't turn your head, the rest of you don't. I think a cornerback has the hardest job ever. Like anytime they both fall or anything, 90% of the time they're throwing a flag, and it's like, hold on, the cornerback got to have something where he can defend himself too. Because I feel like that's why when they're good, I think cornerbacks deserve as many millions as they can get, because it's impossible. And now the lead throws it all the time now, unlike other. And
well, like, so to your point, when's the last time the benefit of the doubt went to the DB?
It don't often.
And I mean, like yesterday, like I'm watching the Bills and Rams, and it's like both guys are hand fighting the whole time. And then, you know, it ends up being not significant because, like, the pass was caught anyway. But it's like both guys are hand fighting. I guess technically the last push was from the DB, but it's like, here comes the flag. And my whole deal is, like, when a receiver initiates contact, like, let it go. I mean, like, to your point, it's like now, and you get why it is, like, hey, if I'm in man coverage, my guy's beat, underthrow the ball. And then the receiver's job is you come back. You're not really even making a play on the ball. All you're trying to do is just create contact and get the flag.
They said they wasn't looking.
Yeah. All right, we avoided it long enough, but we can't do it anymore. So when we come back, Jason Munns joins the program. We'll talk about what happened yesterday at FedEx Forum as the Tigers fall to Arkansas State. We'll talk about that next with Munns right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. Follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. Joins us each and every Monday on the program. Munns, what are we listening to?
Yeah, for you, this is a little ditty called Back and Forth. It's by the Foo Fighters. It's off of their wonderful album, Wasting Light, my personal favorite Foo Fighters album.
There you go. All right, how do you contextualize what we saw at FedEx Forum yesterday?
Just that on an island, just that one game?
Yeah, I think the real question is, you know, I think everyone's going to just kind of think back to, is this just like last year, right? And it's natural.
It's you don't blame anybody for doing that, because, you know, I mean, I don't know, like, there are some differences. Last year they were 15-2, whatever, but like, I'm not gonna, you know, you struggled at home. You kind of struggled-ish at home earlier in the week against Louisiana Tech, a team you were supposed to handle. And you won by 10, but it didn't feel great. But you know, that was, you know, there's the Maui hangover stuff was being bandied about, and you know, okay, I can buy that. You just come off a week where you did a lot of good for yourself, and you know, it was tough. So I could buy that. Then you come out a few days later and get blitzed. I mean, they got blasted. They led for 38 seconds of that game. Like, they got absolutely torched by a team that just a few days earlier, I don't know if anybody else watched Arkansas State versus Jackson State in Jonesboro just a few days earlier, but Jackson State is 0-9 and one of the worst, you know, metrically one of the worst teams in the country, and they lost at Arkansas State by 2 points, and it was not one of those deals where the score was not indicative of how the game went. No, Jackson State was absolutely in that game beginning to end, and that team that barely hung on at home against Jackson State came in to FedEx Forum when Memphis was ranked 16th in the country, and just dominated that game yesterday. So, I mean, if we're talking about just that game on an island, just itself, listen, it's sports, it's college athletics, it's college basketball. Everybody has a stinker. Everybody, I mean, come on. Number one, Kansas just lost to Missouri. You know, like, there were what, 14 teams in the top 25 last week that lost a game?
Yeah, I mean, Auburn loses a game and doesn't really move in the rankings. That tells you how much topsy-turviness there was.
Yeah, so, but I do not blame anybody for buckling their seatbelt after yesterday and being like, oh, geez, here we go again, because it wasn't as if Arkansas State was simply the more talented team the way it was against Auburn in Maui. That was not the case. Anybody who watched that game yesterday could see plain as day that Memphis simply was not ready to play. They were not prepared to play. They were not prepared to match the energy of an upset-minded. Listen, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Arkansas State's probably going to win the Sun Belt. You know, they have talent. Arkansas State is a talented basketball team, and they have a really, really nice up-and-coming coach who is going to very soon, one would think, make himself a big payday and get himself on a much bigger stage. But like, it was never a game, and that's the concerning thing. That should be what concerns people, is that, you know, like, Arkansas State is the kind of team that Memphis is going to see every single night from January to March.
Yes, I think that's really where I think that's where it also stems from. It's like, well, if this can happen on a Sunday after you kind of should have had your cage rattled earlier in the week, why are we to think that this is going to be different? Why do we think this is going to be different once they get to conference play?
So that question was asked. Penny was asked that after the dust settled yesterday. And he just said, because this team is different, not only in excuse me, this team is different in multiple ways. He said this team is different physically, and by that he means one of its better players or one of its linchpins. He harkened back to losing Caleb Mills last season in Tulsa, sort of precipitating, you know, a downfall. Like they weren't prepared to adjust. They couldn't adjust to losing Caleb Mills. Caleb Mills, up to that point, had been a nice player. He was not the MVP of the team by any stretch of the imagination, but you could make the argument he was like a linchpin type of guy. Like, you lose him, and a lot of dominoes fall the wrong direction. So he says that is not the case this season. Everybody's healthy. And then this is a different team also mentally, not just physically, but also mentally. Last year's team, you know, it's been no secret that last year's team had some serious issues behind the scenes. You know, there was a lot of guys who just didn't really seem to, not only like they didn't really care about defense, they didn't really care about winning. You know, so, but and Penny is saying that this year's team is not like that. So, to answer your question, I mean, that's what Penny's answer, that's what Penny's response is to that question. Like, why is this year different? Well, that's his answer. Now the it sounds great. You know, he gave a number of sound bites that you know, really sounded inspiring to you know, to anybody who was listening. I'm trying to find them. He says, we're good enough to turn it back around. We're going to coach hard. We're going to stay together. We are going to get through this. Sounds great, but you can't blame anybody who endured last season for being a little bit skeptical.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of the other thing I was trying to figure out, because I didn't have the sound on for most of the game, but Arkansas State was feisty with Bama to start the year. And then I'm looking at the results, but it's like basically almost every game they played was a close game, regardless of who it was. Part of the disheartening thing last night was it really wasn't ever close. But like, did they have guys returning to the lineup? That like, what I couldn't figure out was like, it was just, because it would be different to me if I thought like Arkansas State came out and they just started bombs away, because you know it's going to be the Bama offense, if you will.
Yes.
But it wasn't like that. Arkansas State like shot the cover off of it. Like, I think they finished at like 36% from the floor, maybe 33% from three. It was bewildering to try and kind of process. Like, the only real conclusion you could like reach was, man, this is just an effort problem.
Yeah, they shot 36.5% from the field, 33.3% from 3-point range. Now, granted, 33% from 3-point range when you shoot 36.
Right, they took a fair amount.
Yeah, like, that's their whole thing. Is they're very much in the Alabama mold. Brian Hodgson is a former Alabama assistant, so that's what he believes in. But they made 12 of them. You lost by 13, and Arkansas State made 5 more threes than you. So there's kind of your difference right there. No, it was not as if Arkansas State was just simply the better team on the floor during that two and a half hours, whatever it was. It was that, you know, there was some, we can get into the X's and O's of it. I mean, you know, Penny said himself after the game, we did not close out strong. We did not close out fast. We did not. He also mentioned like not following the path of the ball. Like once a shot went up, guys didn't like follow it. They just sort of like, I guess, were looking around trying to find a man.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, the majority of the time, Penny's frantic, chaotic, heavy, intense press defense, trapping defense will work the majority of the time. But against a team that gets up 36 threes in a 40-minute game, it's usually not going
to
work.
There's just not a lot of opportunities to get the defense set.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, that was an issue. I go back to what I was saying before. Like, anybody, if you watch the game, you could just see that Memphis, and Penny said it over and over and over and over again in the post game, we did not have energy. We did not have effort. And he's right. He is absolutely right. There was, like Memphis just did not show up yesterday, ready to play. And, you know, to Penny's credit, he accepted full responsibility for that. He said, "That's all on me. I didn't have him ready." And, you know, it is disconcerting. It is disconcerting that here we are in December after the good things, all the good things. I mean, like, Memphis's good wins are aging really well.
Yeah.
Really, really well.
The Missouri wins aging, yes.
Yeah, Missouri hasn't lost since coming to Memphis, and that includes a win over number one Kansas, the former number one Kansas now. UConn goes into Texas and beats them by double digits. What's the other one? Michigan State.
Yeah.
Michigan State is playing really, really well. So, you know,
and UConn beat Baylor aging too, yeah.
Yeah. So the wins are aging really, really well. It's just the Tigers aren't aging very well right now.
Yeah, and I guess like that's kind of the other thing I was thinking about, because Cobb had mentioned this. We weren't ready to like file it away or like say, all right, this is a problem, but it's something to watch. I do wonder if three-point defense is going to be a thing this year.
It certainly seems like it. I mean, it just does. I mean, I'm sure you guys looked at the numbers, and I'll try to pull them up right now.
I got them if you want them.
No, I got them. Three-point defense ranks 304th in the country.
Yep.
According to KenPom. And you know, they're not playing. They haven't faced, you know, I'd have to look at that too, but I don't think they have faced many of the better three-point shooting teams in the country. I'm just looking at the top 10. None in the top 10. They've not faced, I'm all the way down to the top 20, still haven't faced any of those teams. They'll see Virginia here in about a week, and Virginia's 23rd in three-point shooting. Haven't seen them yet. So like, that is, Louisiana Tech is the best three-point shooting team they've faced so far this year, and they're like, whatever they are, 45th. So,
well, I mean, to your point, that was also like, you know, the final score. I mean, hey, man, that was a game that La Tech was a problem.
Yeah, no, I mean, that game was in the balance for way too long. I don't know that Memphis like trailed for very much of that game, but it was just way too close. It was way closer than it should have been for a team that was just coming off what it's coming off of, like some of the wins. I mean, heck, even San Francisco is really looking like a nice win, and everything. So, I mean, it is early. Let's not get. I mean, Penny said this last night. He's not hitting the panic button. It's one game, and he has a point, okay? Because they have some opportunities. Memphis has some opportunities to atone for what happened yesterday. They've got Clemson coming up on Saturday. This next four-game stretch, if anybody thought that the four-game stretch starting with San Francisco and ending in Hawaii was tough, this is going to be tougher, if not tougher, because you've got Clemson at Clemson, Virginia at Virginia, which that's probably the easiest of the bunch on paper. And then you got Mississippi State at home, which is a ranked team today, and Ole Miss at home on December 28th, another ranked team, both coming to FedEx Forum. And then you've got nothing.
Yeah.
Then you've got absolutely nothing. You might have two quad two opportunities for the entirety of January through March, and probably just one, if that. Like, they may not have, we may get to March, the end of the season, and Memphis goes completely through conference play with nothing but quad three and quad four opportunities. And so the window to make up for what just happened yesterday is really, really small. Again, there's still a lot of season left. And there are still some really nice opportunities here in the next 2 weeks. But
all right, we'll wrap up here. They fall out of both top 25s. Do you think that's fair do you think, you know, does it hurt that the – I almost wonder, like, if the loss happening on Sunday makes it worse. But, you know, I mean, that's a pretty significant fall. And granted, there was a lot of turmoil, as you mentioned, in college basketball last week. So I'm not saying, like, how dare they not be ranked. But that is usually a pretty jarring fall with just one loss.
Yeah, 12-spot drop in the AP poll, and it was even worse in the coaches' poll. It was like a 16-spot drop in the coaches' poll. I thought that was a little extreme. I honestly thought that Memphis would be 25th in the AP poll today. They're 28th if you play it out that far with the votes and everything and the points. I think that's a little bit extreme because – what are we talking about? We're talking about one loss.
Yeah.
I mean, like we're talking about one game. And
they went 1-1 last week.
Right. And again, the wins are aging really, really well. And that should count for something. Like, let's not forget that Memphis has beaten Michigan State on a neutral floor and UConn on a neutral floor and, air quotes, on a neutral floor, San Francisco. So, and then, of course, Missouri. They deserve to get dinged. Like, they were 13.5 point favorites and they lost by 13.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty extreme thing there. So
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17 point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.